interesting. Welcome to Shir Ramban, Parshas Vayera. So, wanted to take a look tonight, at least to start tonight, with a long Ramban at the very beginning of the Sedra, where the Ramban talks about certain very fundamental ideas that go beyond the confine of Parshas Vayera itself. And the starting point of the Ramban is as follows. We know the Parsha starts off, Vayera ilav Hashem be'ilonei mamre. Hashem appeared to him, i.e. Avraham Avinu and Elonei Mamre, v'hu yoshe pesach o'o k'chol mayom. Avraham Avinu was sitting out in front of the tent, and then all of a sudden he sees three men, they come in, the whole story, the malachim, Sarah's going to give birth, you know, etc., etc., etc. What's totally lost in the subsequent story is the Vayera ilav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him. Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu. It's striking that the pronoun is used as opposed to, you know, Vayera Hashem el Avraham, right? It says Vayera elav Hashem, you know, it's just the pronoun, Hashem appeared to him. And we find no record after those initial words, Vayera elav Hashem, as to what the content or the purpose of this revelation was. Hashem appears to him, and then boom, all of a sudden, we've got three malachim, you know, Sarah's running in and making matzahs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. What happened to the Vayera Elav Hashem? Where did that Mara, where did that revelation go? So, all of Mepharshim deal with this question on some level or another. The Ramban starts off citing Rashi. Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, Levaker es Hachole, in order to visit Avraham Avinu, who was still recovering from the bris milah he had had at the end of last week's Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha. Right, you figure after a week, you know, he'd be okay. The truth is, it's even less than a week, right? It's 3 days, according to Rashi. But, you know, so Hashem appears to him, according to Rashi, without any specific revelation in mind. Hashem's not coming to tell him anything or to reveal anything to him. Hashem's just checking in. You know, Hashem's kevayachol, making his rounds, you know, and he stops in the hospital room of Avraham Avinu. And says, no, and they're treating you okay, and the food's okay, and everything's all right. Yeah, you know, getting exercise in the middle of the day. Good, 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 wonderful. Okay, Shishavar Refuah Shleima, you know, we'll daven for you, I guess, right? So, we'll have you in mind. That would be Avram Ben, I can't pronounce your mother's name anyway. Okay, fine, Avram. And Shishavar Refuah Shleima Ben Heira. Now, that's by Yehra Ilan Hashem. There's no content to the revelation, according to Rashi, because it's a get well visit. That's really the whole purpose of the visit itself. However, writes the Ramban, Uvisefer Mora Nevuchim, in the Mora Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed of the Rambam, which if you recall last week we saw that the Ramban also quoted a Rambam in Mora Nevuchim about the meaning of the name Shakai, and he was very enthusiastic about that Mora Nevuchim. Nemar ki aparsha klalu prat. The Rambam says the way to understand the beginning of Parshas Vayera is that the statement Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, is a general statement which then applies to everything which we're going to read thereafter. That is to say, Amar HaKosuv Tchila Ki Nireh Elav Hashem B'Maros HaNevuah. The Pasuk is first telling us that Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu in a prophetic vision. And what was the nature of that prophetic vision? What did he see in that prophetic vision? So what happened in this prophetic vision was Avraham Avinu nasa einav b'mara. He picked up his eyes in the vision. He saw three people. He approached them and he said, please, why don't you come into my tent? Zeh sipur masha omar b'mara hanavua. Le'echad mehem hagadol shebohem. Everything that follows afterwards is all a description of what Avraham Avinu saw in this Mara HaNevuah, in this prophetic vision that Hashem showed him. And says the Rambam, you have to say like that. Eich omar vayero elav Hashem, ki hinei lo nira lo Hashem lo b'mara v'lo b'machshava. Right? So, otherwise, says the Rambam, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. There's no content as to the nature of that revelation. In other words, we don't find that Hashem just shows up, waves high, and says, just wanted to pop in and see how you're doing. Hashem always reveals himself with a message. So the Rambam is unwilling to accept that which Rashi brings, that Hashem appeared for the sole reason of paying a get-well visit to Avraham Avinu. That's not how Hashem operates. Now, Hashem is not the hospital chaplain. I just wanted to stop in and see how you're doing. Hashem reveals things through prophecy and revelation. So if Vayera Elav Hashem, if Hashem appeared to him, he must have conveyed something to Avraham Avinu. What did he convey to him? He showed him this vision with the three people. And goes on the Ramban to say, Lidvarav, according to the words of the Rambam, Lo Lasha Sara Ugos. According to the Rambam, says the Ramban, Sara never baked any cakes in reality. For Lo Asa Avram ben Bakar, and Avram Avinu didn't prepare, you know, some meat to serve to the guests. Vigam Lo Tzachaka Sara. And by the way, Sara never laughed in reality. Right? Because in other words, the whole vision of the whole story of the three people coming to visit Avraham Avinu is all a vision or a dream that Avraham Avinu is having. So again, everything that's related to that dream or that vision can't be reality, because again, what does it mean? When did Sarah laugh? Sarah laughed when she heard the three men predicting that she would have a son the following year. Well, but in reality, in real time, she didn't actually hear anyone predict that she was going to have a son the following year. That was all a vision in Avraham Avinu's head. So Sarah didn't really laugh. So, you know, Hashem can't really reprimand Sarah. You know, in the vision that I showed Avraham Avinu, you were laughing. Okay, and what do you want from me exactly? Right? You know, you're holding me accountable for what I did in somebody else's dream? That's not really fair, right? Okay, so we'll try to get to that, right? But nonetheless, so the Rambam, says the Ramban, if the whole thing is really a vision, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him, colon. The way Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu is that he showed him in his mind's eye this vision of three men coming, and he ushered them in, and he gave them to eat and to drink. And, you know, they told him that Sarah was going to have a son a year from now. All of that is a vision. None of that happened in reality, according to the Rambam. So the Ramban is not so happy with all of this. In Kain Ba Chalom HaZeh Berov Inyan Kechalom HaSasheker Kimat Toelis Laharos Lo Kolzeh. I don't get it, says the Ramban. I mean, let's leave aside the question of how Hashem can reprimand Sarah for having laughed in a vision that Avraham Avinu was having, but what would be the point of revealing all of this detail to Avraham Avinu? In other words, if the point is Hashem wanted to come to Avraham Avinu and tell him, by the way, Sarah's going to have a kid in a year's time, so why do you need all the props, all the pageantry? You know, Avraham Avinu is going to bring out food, and Yishmael is going to do something, and Sarah is going to bake, and what, you know, if it's not real, if it's all just a vision, so why are we going into such detail, you know, in conveying all of this to Avraham Avinu? Just Hashem appear to Avraham Avinu and say, I'd just like to share with you, your wife's going to have a kid in a year from now. That's it. Why do we have to make it more complicated? What's that? And by the way, he did already. Right. So in other words, you know, been there, done that. The Rambam isn't done. The Chain Omar, similarly, the Rambam writes regarding Vayeovek Ish Imo, the fight between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, recorded in Parshas Vayishlach, Shakol Mara HaNavuah. The Rambam writes that also never happened in real time. That was a vision. Yaakov Avinu had this vision. He was fighting with a Malach, and back and forth. So says the Ramban, Velo Yodati, Lama Hayat Saleh Al Yerecho Bahakit. Wait a minute, says the Ramban. So Yaakov Avinu, after that fight, was limping. How do you limp after you had a vision? I had a vision that I was fighting with a Malach, and now I wake up, right? I mean, it's very clear that he's limping in real life. So he's limping in real life because he fought an angel in a vision. I mean, they do tell a story about a guy who woke up in the morning and said, I had the most bizarre dream last night. I dreamed I was eating this giant marshmallow. By the way, where's my pillow? They tell stories about people like that, but I mean, Yaakov Avinu, if the fight with the Malach wasn't the real fight, if it was all in his head, so how do you limp after that episode? Right, so the truth is, we'll see that to answer the Rambam, it could be that you have to say something like that. In other words, he was so moved by this vision that he had, I guess, what you'd call a psychosomatic reaction, to what happened in the vision. He was physically limping because of something he had seen in a vision, but the Ramban doesn't seem happy with that approach. The Ramban's kind of bottom line, it's interesting, both the Rambam and the Ramban were doctors, so maybe it was a machlokas in medicine as to whether they believed in a psychosomatic effect of some sort or another, maybe. But the Ramban is very upset with the Rambam for that. V'lama amar ki ro'isi elokim panim al panim atinat sol nafshi. Also, Yaakov Avinu, after this episode with the Malach, says, I saw God face to face, and I didn't die. So, says the Ramban, that makes it sound like he actually saw this angel face to face. If it was all just a vision, so yeah, he wasn't the first, and he won't be the last who will see an angel in a vision. Why is he so thankful that he somehow managed to survive this encounter? It gets more complicated, says the Ramban. V'hine lefidai tozos yitzdarich lomar kein be'inyan lot. If we really follow the Rambam to his logical conclusion, what comes out is that the whole story with Lot and Sodom was also part of the vision. Because where does the vision stop? Okay, so three men come to Avraham Avinu. That's a vision. That didn't really happen in reality. And then Avraham Avinu accompanies these men on their way to Sodom. Now again, if there are no men in actuality, then Avraham Avinu accompanying them to Sodom is also part of the vision. I mean, who's he accompanying, right? They don't really exist. So the men then leaving Avraham Avinu and going to Sodom is also part of the vision. So the men coming to Sodom and meeting Lot is also part of the vision, right? Right? And the whole idea of, the Malachim coming to Lot, the townspeople of Sodom surrounding the house, that's all part of the vision, right? In other words, there's no point at which we can say, once you introduce the idea that it's a vision, there isn't a clear point at which we can say, okay, now we're switching the channel back to reality. Everything that happens with Lot and the Malachim is predicated on the fact that there are actual Malachim who came to Avraham Avinu. So at what point do we switch back to reality? Now, we know Sodom gets destroyed, right? I mean, that's clear. That wasn't a vision, right? I mean, the later in Chumash and in Navi, we make references to the fact, that Sodom was destroyed. Pasuk in Yeshaya, because Sodom ha'yinu la'amora domino, we're just like Sodom, we're just like Amora. I mean, what's that?
That could be before they were destroyed.
Yeah, okay, but you have in Nitzavim, Kadmos, Voyim, in other words, you have references to the destruction of Sodom throughout Chumash and throughout Tanakh. So clearly, clearly Sodom was destroyed. So at what point, where does that fit into things? In other words, you're telling me that, the whole, the Malachim coming to Lot must be part of the vision also. How is that going to work? Like, at what point do you switch back, to reality? Even if we assume that Lot is just, hosting the Malachim in this vision of Avraham Avinu, so how do you get the townspeople then to surround the house of Lot? It's just like bizarre. And if everything is in Lot's head, let's say, right? In other words, let's say that, there's a continuation. Originally, Avraham Avinu has this vision, and then Lot has a parallel part two vision. And by the way, says the Ramban, I didn't know that Lot was such a big tzaddik and a navi that he's zochet to have these visions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what are you going to tell me? Like, the whole fleeing of stone because it's going to be destroyed, you know, all of that is just a vision? Yeah, right. In other words, this is a really bad place for the Rambam to say that the whole thing's the vision, because, you know, once you say that the beginning of the parasha is a vision, most of the rest of the parasha flows from the beginning of the parasha. So there isn't really a clear cutoff point where you can say, okay, by the way, vision's over now. Now we're back into not just virtual reality, but actual reality. Where do you do that? Where do you break up the story exactly? Right? I'm sorry? Who, the Rambam?
Yeah.
Well, the Ramban actually said something stronger than that. Writes the Ramban,
and you say that this is a paradigm for
right. So the Ramban writes on the Rambam, the Eile Dvarim Sostrim HaKosuv. These words of the Rambam contradict the Psukim. It is not possible to make the Psukim work with the Rambam's understanding that this whole thing is a vision. Asur l'shom'om, you're not allowed to even listen to these words of the Rambam. I apologize. Af ki l'ha'amin bohem, and you're certainly not allowed to believe that the Rambam is right. Okay, so them's fighting words, right? It's very interesting. You know, we noted last week that, you know, just in terms of the biography of the Ramban was a compromising figure. That's not really the right term. He was a figure who tried to broker a compromise in the Middle Ages between those elements in Jewry who supported the Rambam versus those who were opposed to the Rambam. You know, the Ramban himself was not a devotee of the philosophy that the Rambam was very devoted to. So in that sense, you know, he rejected many of the Rambam's positions. But at the same time, as opposed to people in, you know, the Jewish world in the Middle Ages who were burning the Rambam's books, you know, the Ramban said, no, that's not the right approach. The Rambam is a tzaddik, he's a gadol b'Yisrael. You know, we can disagree with him, but, you know, we're not going to go out and, you know, write him out of the fold or anything like that. We saw last week how the Ramban quoted the Rambam approvingly on a certain issue and, you know, extolled the Rambam. But the Ramban was also ready to disagree very, very strongly with the Rambam when he felt that it called for. Again, the words that he writes over here, you know, what the Rambam writes, how certain things are a vision. You're not allowed to hear them and, you know, you're certainly not allowed to believe them. You know, isn't like, okay, so I have my pshat, you have your pshat. You know, he definitely is rejecting this out of hand. Now, it is interesting to note that the Rambam's approach in numerous cases, when we have a description in the psukim which may be difficult to understand, one of the Rambam's, and others agreed with the Rambam as well, one of the Rambam's tricks to try to answer things up is to say, oh, it was a vision. Right? How could Bilam's donkey talk to him? Right? Donkeys don't usually talk. Not usually. Right? So how could Bilam's donkey talk to him? Simple answer. Vision. Vision. It was all a vision. It was a dream. You know, don't worry. It didn't really happen. You know. Now, that's an approach the Rambam takes on numerous occasions. And the Ramban here lays out his position. No can do. No, absolutely not. You know, we're that's not an approach. You can't go and start explaining away difficult stories in the Chumash as just being visions. And in particular, over here, the Ramban says if you start doing that, the whole Parshas Vayera falls apart. Because, again, you know, where do you make that switch over from vision to actual reality? In his comment, you know, one of the probably the most famous and well-used editions of the Ramban in the modern-day era was put together by Ruchaim Dov Shavel, who was a Rav out in Far Rockaway a number of decades back. So he put out, you know, editions from Osala Rav Kook of many of the Rishonim, but probably the most famous one is the Ramban. So in his notes to the Ramban, Rabbi Shavel tries to address, quotes earlier Mefarshim who try to address some of the questions that the Ramban raises against the Rambam. Again, you know, that they're besides the question as to whether in general you can just explain away stories you don't like by saying that they're a vision, specifically over here the Ramban has really strong passions against the Rambam. So I want to share some of what Rabbi Chevel shares in his notes, and you know, to try to present how the Rambam would have responded to the Ramban's kashas. The Rambam knew how to read a Pasuk in Chumash pretty well, you know, and certainly was aware of all of these questions that the Ramban had raised. So what would the Rambam himself do with these issues? So one issue that the Ramban had raised was, if this whole thing is a vision, so why does the vision go into such detail with Avraham Avinu went and served the Malachim this and that, you know, it gives us the whole menu as to what Avraham Avinu was serving the Malachim. Why do we care? In other words, why was that something that was important to show Avraham Avinu in the vision? So he quotes from an Abarbanel. The Abarbanel writes that the value in all of that was to show Avraham Avinu that all of the blessings that you're going to be zoche to, specifically this blessing of having a child a year from now, even though your wife ostensibly is barren, all of these blessings come about in the merit of the chesed and the generosity that you're bestowing upon others. And in that sense, we can say that's what was added from Parshas Lech Lecha. At the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu in a vision, and he says, guess what? Your wife is going to have a son a year from now. Wow, okay. The beginning of Parshas Vayera, Hashem comes with a follow-up vision, and Hashem shows them, do you want to know why you merit having this miracle happen to you? You know, your wife is barren, you're not really capable of having children. You want to know why you're all of a sudden going to be zocha to a son? It's because of Titin Chesed Le'Avraham. And as you're going, the benevolence, the kindness that shows by Avraham Avinu, that's the reason ultimately that you merit having this son. And you know, that's shown in a very graphic form by all of the acts of chesed which Avraham Avinu is performing. Similarly, the Ramban had raised the kasha as to how the Rambam would understand Yaakov Avinu's limping after his encounter with the Malach. If the encounter with the Malach was entirely a vision, so how do you limp after that? So the Abarbanel essentially says what Shelley said a few moments ago. The Zeshit Sola al Yerecho, the fact that Yaakov Avinu was limping, Behakitzo Mishnaso, when he woke up from this vision, again, if we assume like the Rambam, that the whole thing with the fighting with the Malach was a vision, it wasn't something that happened in actuality. Okay, so how did Yaakov Avinu limp? His limbs were influenced by his imagination. That's the language that he uses. Because what's going on inside of us can have an actual impact on our physical health and what we feel physically. Again, this idea of, you know, something psychosomatic. I've convinced myself, I had a very real vision that, you know, somebody punched me in the gut. So I wake up from that dream feeling like somebody punched me in the stomach. In other words, I could feel it so, you know, so it could be so real to me that it could really have a physical impact. That's the Abarbanel. He writes that the Ritva, the Ritva wrote to try to also explain difficult Rambams against those who were critical of the Rambam. So the Ritva also, you know, writes similarly in that fashion. You know, that perhaps the vision was so powerful it actually impacted on Yaakov Avinu in a physical sense.
What about the Gidagashim? Where does that fit?
Yes. So in other words, it's an incredible thing. But the Malach hit Yaakov in the Gid Hanasha in the vision. And Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, ow, my Gid Hanasha, wow. Where did that come from? Right? Again, an amazing thing. But that's the way the Abarbanel and the Ritva both explained the Rambam. Yeah, okay, one was a vision, but he felt it in actuality. It's interesting to note, Rabbi Chevel quotes the Ritva as giving this answer. And the Ritva concludes V'omnom kiderech haramban be'inyan hamara shel Avraham mekubelas muslula ein lintos mimeno. Says the Ritva, I want to be honest with you. I think the Ramban's right. I mean, you know, to say that Yaakov Avinu only wrestled with the Malach in a vision, come on, you know, the Ramban is right. But writes the Ritva, ach chomalti al hamore, but I had Rachmanus on the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim. I mean, Nevuch, you know, here the Rambam writes, you know, this is very, you know, a very out of the box kind of perspective. I had Rachmanus on the Rambam. Ki chol dvarov l'shem shamayim. Right, the Ritva, because everything the Rambam writes, al chas v'shalom to say that the Rambam was, you know, influenced by outside influences of the right. The Rambam, you know, his heart was in the right place. He wrote everything he did l'shem shamayim and sincerely and for the right purposes. So I want to try to defend him. But between you and me, if you ask me who's right, says the Ritva, I had to argue with the Rambam with the simple pshat of the psukim that all of these things happened in actuality. Finally, just before we break for Ma'ariv, so the, you know, the last question that the Rambam asks against the Rambam, at what point does the story go back to being reality? In other words, if what happened, what Avraham Avinu experienced with the three Malachim was all a vision, so then everything with Lot was also a vision, right? And it doesn't seem like stone was destroyed. Vayishor, the way the Ramban puts it, Vayishor Lot b'stone. If it was all a vision, so then in reality, Lot is still in stone at the end of everything. So how does that work? So he quotes again from the Abar Benel that everything was revealed to Avraham Avinu as part of a vision. You're right. You know, the Malachim coming to Lot is a vision, and the people surrounding the house is a vision. All of that is a vision. But the point of that vision is to tell Avraham Avinu, you know, the people of Sodom are Rishoyim. They deserve to be destroyed. And let me show you not something that actually happened, but I'll show you in a vision something that represents the kind of people that they are. And then after that vision is completed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually destroys Sodom, not because of what happened in that vision, but because of the ongoing acts of rishos, of evil, which the people of Sodom had committed. So in other words, you can still fit, you know, in the end of the day, Lot was taken out of Sodom, in the end of the day, Sodom was destroyed, but the exact contours of the story, as presented the Chumash, are the vision shown to Avraham Avinu, as opposed to the reality. Certainly not the standard understanding of the text, but at least it can work according to the Rambam's understanding. Okay, we'll pick up with more after Ma'ariv Be'ezus Hashem. Rav Chanina ben Akasha Omer, Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shir Ramban, Parshas Vayera. As we, just to summarize very briefly the first part of the Shir, really all the Rishonim deal with understanding the first couple of words of the Sedra. Vayera Eilav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Hashem appeared to him, to Avraham Avinu, and Eilonei Mamre, where there's no content given in the Chumash, no obvious content given in the Chumash for what that revelation was. Hashem appeared to him. What did he do? What did he say? You know, like, what happened? And right after it describes how Hashem appeared to him, so all of a sudden it launches into the story with the three Malachim. So we started off quoting Rashi. Rashi says the purpose of that visit was a Bikur Cholim visit, to see how Avraham Avinu was doing after the bris. But then at length, the Ramban quoted the Rambam, but the Rambam says, Vayera Ilav Hashem is an introduction to what's going to follow, and it indicates that everything, again, the way the Ramban explains the Rambam, everything through the story of Lot fleeing Sodom is all the vision that's shown to Avraham Avinu. It's all happening in his mind. It's not happening in real time, you know, in any way whatsoever. And we saw that the Ramban has tremendous questions on that. You know, how could you say that this whole thing was a vision? We quoted Rabbi Chevelle quoting the Abar Benel, who tries to answer up the Ramban's questions against the Rambam. But in the end of the day, ultimately what the Rambam is trying to answer is how to deal with those words, Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him, and there's no content given for the revelation. Okay, so the Ramban doesn't like the Rambam. We understand, we quoted from the Ritva. The Ritva says, look, I
the Ramban thinks he's the Ramban?
Well, the Ramban was not afraid to argue when he thought somebody was wrong. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. I think it's fair to say probably most Mefarshim disagreed with the Rambam, but you're still left with the Kasha. Okay, so what's Vayeroi Lov Hashem? Hashem appeared to him. And what? And for what purpose? And to what end? So listen to the Ramban's answer. Zeh Gilui Hashchino Elov. This is on the Ramban, Dibra Maskel Be'ilonei Mamre. Zeh Gilui Hashchino Elov L'ma'alo V'kovod Lo. This appearance of the Shekhinah, of God's presence to Avram Avinu, was as a sign of respect to Avram Avinu and acknowledging the incredibly high spiritual level to which Avram Avinu had ascended. Ki'inyin shababa mishkan. We find that later on in Chumash when the Mishkan is dedicated. Vayetzu vayvarchu es ha'am. Right? So Moshe and Aaron blessed the people. Vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. And then Hashem's glory appeared to all the people. And what did Hashem's glory do when it appeared to all the people? Nothing. It just appeared. Right? And that shouldn't surprise us, says the Ramban. Then over here? I think so. I'll explain a bit. Sometimes Hashem will appear in response to an incredibly powerful mitzvah which has been performed by someone or a group of people. So in the case of the Mishkan, they finished building the Mishkan, and there was a Hashroas Hashchina, there was a Gilui Shchina, a revelation of God's presence, not for any particular purpose, but basically to acknowledge the incredible mitzvah which had been performed. And similarly over here as well, there was an incredible, I mean, Avraham Avinu was 99 years old, and he went out and got a bris milah. You know, that's a big deal. So to acknowledge the big deal that had taken place, to acknowledge, you know, how Avraham Avinu had been most nefesh and had accomplished this incredibly important mitzvah, Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu, not for any particular purpose, but just to, you know, to give him a check, so to speak, you know, to sign off on the incredible mitzvah which he had performed. The Ramban goes on to say, V'en gilui shechina kan v'kan. The revelation of God's presence, neither here nor there by the Mishkan, is l'tzavos lehem mitzvah l'dibur klal. It's not for the purposes of revealing any kind of mitzvah or any particular message. Ela gumul ha-mitzvah ha-naseh skvar. It's the reward for the mitzvah which has already been done. It's a follow-up to the mitzvah of building the Mishkan or the mitzvah of having a bris milah in each respective case. And it's to let both parties know, Klal Yisrael in the case of the Mishkan, Avraham Avinu in the case of the Bris Milah, that Hashem finds favor in what they did, and Hashem approves and accepts the mitzvahs which they have performed. What is that? Yishkayah, right. So I think this is different than Rashi. Rashi is saying Hashem is coming to Avraham Avinu in a pastoral role, kaviyochol. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming, you know, to check in on him after the Bris Milah, right? The Ramban is saying he's not coming to check in on Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah. When you do a mitzvah on a certain level, that, you know, opens you up to the Ashras Hashchina. Again, in, you know, if you want to be theatrical about it, you know, the beam of light, you know, comes out of the heavens and shines on the person, you know, who has performed this particular mitzvah. Hashem is not coming for any particular purpose. He's coming because such a mitzvah on such a level brings the Shekhinah automatically. So just to follow up on this point, to quote two other Rishonim who come later than Ramban, but also I think build on this idea in different contexts, the Rabbeinu Bechaye writes that whenever a person performs a mitzvah, it's an opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for various things, you know, that are unrelated to the mitzvah. You did a mitzvah, you have a big schus, you can now turn to Hashem because Hashem is especially close to you. And the Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, and that's why women have the custom when they bench Shabbos licht, that they daven to Hashem at that moment for all kinds of things, in particular, you know, that they should have children who are going in the way of Torah and the like. What's one got to do with the other? I lit Shabbos licht. Okay, so it's very dramatic, it's very beautiful, you know, we have all these pictures in our minds of, you know, women doing this kind of thing. But fundamentally, what's one got to do with the other? I did a mitzvah, I lit Shabbos licht. No, so says the Rabbeinu Bechaye, when you do a mitzvah, it's the moment in which Hashem is particularly close to you. So utilize that opportunity. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask him things that you know you now have more direct access than you would have had otherwise. In a sense, that Rabbeinu Bechaye, I think, is building on this Ramban. The Ramban is saying there's a certain hashras hashchina that comes about when a great mitzvah has been performed. Now again, I don't know if the Ramban would say it comes about every time a mitzvah is performed. You know, Rabbeinu Bechaye is going an extra step and saying that, you know, every Jewish housewife, when she lights Shabbos candles, is bringing down the Shechina. Yeah, the Ramban said it about building the Mishkan, about Avraham Avinu getting a bris milah. I don't know the Ramban would necessarily go the next step and say it happens in every Jewish home every Friday afternoon, but maybe he would. But the Rabbeinu Bechaye, for sure, is taking this idea and extending it to the next level. Another apple.
The bris milah was not the kind that you don't see it.
By what? Say again?
By the Akedah, was a bigger
mitzvah. Yeah, no, so the truth is, by the Akedah, Hashem Yireh, right? So Hashem is there, you know, in a certain sense. There is Ashras Hashchino that takes place at the end of the Maisa with the Akedah, you know, but we find it first over here by the Maisa with the Bris Milah. Just to, yeah. So I wouldn't have thought that on my own either. But the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, yeah, utilize the moment. Chaperai, Hashem's here, so you know, pull out your laundry list of all the things that you want. Right, to some extent, right? You know, we just Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim, so now let's daven. There's this Sfarno in the Parsha Shmos where he takes this idea of the Ramban. Again, he doesn't quote the Ramban. The Sfarno lived a little bit after the Ramban. But the Sfarno also seems to be working off this basic idea of the Ramban. Says the Sfarno, you know, we know the story in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu is on his way back to Mitzrayim, and, you know, he stops off at a hotel, and all of a sudden, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's life is in danger because he didn't give a bris milah to his son. So how do you understand that? What, the failure to give a bris milah, you know, even under the worst of circumstances, it's a reason for God to want to kill the father on the spot? I mean, this seems like a little bit extreme. So says the Sfarno, you should understand whenever either we do a bris, or whenever we're supposed to be doing a bris, on the eighth day, there's a special hashras hashchina that comes into that place, a special revelation of God's presence. In the case of Avraham Avinu, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the eighth day, he was supposed to do the bris, for whatever reason, legitimate reason, he didn't do the bris. The Shechina came in, the Shechina saw that the bris was not being done, and, you know, when you bring God's presence into a place, and not everything is going the way it's supposed to happen, so that creates a negative ripple effect, and says the Sfarno, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's life was in danger. Again, we don't fully understand all of that, but it's an idea similar to that of the Ramban, just taking it one step further in a different direction. Not only does the fulfillment of the mitzvah of bris bring down Hashem's presence, but even the fact that it's supposed to be a day on which the bris is supposed to be performed, it's the eighth day, brings down Hashem's presence, and says the Sfarno, that's why we have this custom of setting up an empty chair at every bris. It's not for Eliyahu HaNavi, it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Sfarno. Because the Shechina comes down at every bris. So again, obviously Hashem doesn't need a chair, right? But, you know, we set up this empty chair to symbolize the fact that Hashem's presence is coming into the room, you know, when a bris is taking place. And that's, the Sfarno would not have called it a Kisei Shel Eliyahu, he probably would have called it a Kisei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really, the Sfarno understands the role of that chair, you know, by your bris milah. Very, very interesting idea. What's that?
We have two chairs.
Well, you have a chair for the milah, okay, but there's a separate chair that's left, you know, unused. Only so many chairs you can get, you know. If you can find somebody to endow the chair, you know, so then that's an anderizach, you know, but, you know, you have to find somebody to do that. I guess the chairman, right, the committee chairman. All right, let's stop now while we're still ahead. So in any case, this idea of the Sfarno, again, is not exactly that of the Ramban, but in a sense it's taking the Ramban's idea and bringing it to the next level. V'chein b'Yaakov, v'yifku bo malachei Elokim, so to by Yaakov Avinu, the end of Parshas Vayetse, so, you know, Yaakov Avinu meets up with angels. And what happens when he meets up with angels? Nothing, really. I mean, you read the Chumash at the end of Vayetzeh. They don't do anything. They don't tell him anything. So why are they there? They're there to show honor to Yaakov Avinu. I guess to show him, according to the Ramban, that even after he had spent all those years in the house of Lavan, and you could imagine that spiritually he would have had a tremendous descent, the Malachim come to reassure him, you know, you're still the same Yaakov Avinu as when you left, you know, to go to Haran in the first place. Yeah, you know, so you could understand that as well. But I think even the Ramban would say, okay, but what does it mean to greet him when it comes to Eretz Yisrael? It's basically to pat him on the back and say that you're still a good guy. You know, you're still doing all the right things. So, Ha'inyan Mechubar, that's why says the Ramban, the Pasuk starts off by saying, Vayera Elov, Hashem appeared to him, as opposed to saying, Vayera El Avraham. Elov is a pronoun. Every composition teacher will tell you, you never use a pronoun in the beginning of the paragraph. Right? That's dangling antecedent. And dangling antecedents are dangerous. If they fall, you know, you could probably sue somebody. But you're not supposed to use a pronoun at the beginning of the sentence. Why is it a pronoun? To show you that the Vayera Elov is going back to what we had before, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha was about the Bris Milah. So in the schus, in the merit of the Bris Milah, so that's how Hashem appeared, you know, that's why Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, to compliment him on what had happened. I says the right, but Baharsha Rafsal is Sadr Kavod Hanasa Lo Be'ez She'asa Hamila. In this parsha, we want to show Kavod to Avraham Avinu because of the fact that he had performed the Maisa with the Bris Milah. So that says, the Ramban says we shouldn't be bothered by the fact that it's a new paragraph. I mean, offhand you would say that, okay, if Vayera Elav Hashem is coming to connect to the previous parsha, where it talks about Avraham Avinu getting the Bris Milah, so why do you have in the Sefer Torah a new paragraph, you know, Vayera Elav Hashem? Don't be worried by that, says the Ramban. Why shouldn't we be concerned about that? So it could be, again, it's not 100% clear in the Ramban, but it could be the Ramban is saying that part of the kavod that was shown to Avraham Avinu is A, the revelation of the Shechina, but B, also the Besora, you know, the good tidings that Avraham Avinu was given, you know, of the fact that Yitzchak would be born. He was already really told that in last week's parasha. But the pageantry with which he was given the Besora in this week's parasha, you know, is also a direct result of the mitzvah Bris Milah, which he performed in the last mitzvah, in the last parasha. So Vayera Elav Hashem and the story of the Malachim do connect to one another, not in the way in which the Rambam says they connect, that it's all a Mara Nevuah, that it's all a vision, but in the sense that that both God's revelation as well as the specific good tidings that Avraham Avinu was given are both a direct result of the fact that he did this tremendous mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yeah, so I think somebody says that, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's always good to quote.
It's a very explicit connection.
It's always good to quote somebody because they can't catch you on that. But I think somebody does say that. That knows Vayishkuv go Malachim Elokim are the Malachim Mamish. You know that Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lofanov, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, we will pick up next week. Be'ezus Hashem, I want to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.